Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
I would like to know how in the world someone within the Southern Baptist Convention can support the defending of rights for Muslims to construct mosques in the United States when these people threaten our very way of existence as Christians and Americans. They are murdering Christians, beheading Christians, imprisoning Christians all over the world. Do you actually believe that if Jesus Christ were here today that he would support this and that he would stand up and say, well, let us protect the rights of those Baal worshipers to erect temples to Baal? Do you believe that, Dr. Moore?
You know, sometimes we have to deal with questions that are really complicated and we have to spend a lot of time thinking them through and not sure exactly what the final result was going to be. Sometimes we have really hard decisions to make. This isn't one of those things. What it means to be a Baptist is to support soul freedom for everybody. And brothers and sisters, when you have a government that says we can decide whether or not a house of worship can be constructed based upon the theological beliefs of that house of worship, then there are going to be Southern Baptist churches in San Francisco and New York and throughout this country who are not going to be able to build. And the bigger issue, though, is not one of self-interest. The bigger issue is the fact that we have been called to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A government that has the power to outlaw people from assembling together and saying what they believe, that does not turn people into Christians. That turns people into pretend Christians, and it sends them straight to hell. The answer to Islam is not government power. The answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the new birth that comes from that.
Thank you, Dr. Moore.
That's an exchange between a pastor and Dr. Russell Moore, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention, during a recent meeting of the Southern Baptists in St. Louis. That's just one of the stories that came out of the Southern Baptist Convention. The news outlets talking about the Southern Baptists and their, well, they picked up on one part of the argument of religious liberty and not so much on Russell Moore's response to it. We're going to be talking about media coverage of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. Joining us to do so on this Thursday afternoon, June the 16th, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
You're just the average kind of general beat reporter. Your editor sends you to St. Louis to cover the Southern Baptist Convention meeting there. What kind of preconceived notions, what kind of stories do you go looking for if you're the average reporter?
Well, of course, the first thing you're looking for is what all reporters are looking for. You're looking for a headline, which means to some degree you're looking for a story that you think your editors will believe is a headline. So did you get that equation? In other words, you don't have a control. You don't have the ability to control what your editors will think is of a really important story. So, to some degree, you have to report a story that you think your editors will believe is really important. So, yeah. So that's one of the biggest preconceptions. All reporters want bylines. All reporters want headlines. But I think there's something very important here that we have to pause and think about for a second. You said, so you're an average reporter and you walk in to cover the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, see, it's only been a couple of years ago that they didn't send average reporters to cover the Southern Baptist Convention. When I was covering the Southern Baptist Convention in the 80s, a decade, that you know, beginning with my work at the Charlotte Observer, Charlotte News and Charlotte Observer, a period of time, by the way, when I was transitioning from being a Southern Baptist into the liturgical church, when you went to the Southern Baptist Convention, you would walk into the newsroom, and I'm not exaggerating, at some of the bigger conventions, there might be 40 religion beat specialists in that room. It was like the unofficial national convention of religion writers in American life. In fact, several times, the Religion News Writers Association held its national convention in the days right ahead of the Southern Baptist Convention, because we knew so many people would be flying there anyway to cover the show, so to speak. So you used to have people walking in to cover the convention who knew the history of what was going on in the convention, knew what the stories were, had contact phone number lists that ran into 2, 3, 4, 5 pages in length. It was like going to the Super Bowl, and you had people there who knew how to cover the Super Bowl. Does that make sense? That day is gone. Let me just tell you one funny story. One year, the Southern Baptist Convention was meeting in Nolens. Now, needless to say, the Southern Baptist come to Nolens is a rather different setting. That's not your normal Bible Belt city. So we all showed up in town a couple of days early for our meeting, which meant we were overlapping with two groups who always come to the Southern Baptist Convention early. One is the Women's Missionary Union, and the other is the huge Conference of Southern Baptist Pastors, which means these are the true believers of the true believers. And so we showed up, and religion writers for the secular press being who they are, our meetings always included some sort of massive social event, like at the end of the first night. And let's face it, it was a cocktail party. So the way I heard the story was one of the greatest religion writers of all time, Russell Chandler of the Los Angeles Times, frankly one of my two heroes in the field of religion writing. Russ had been sent out to get the booze for this meeting. And he walks back into the hotel, and he gets into the elevator carrying a box of hard liquor and beer and whatever else. But he's headed to a cocktail party for the secular press. The elevator is totally, completely full of women who are there for the Women's Missionary Union. So the elevator goes up, and as you imagine, everybody's really quiet. The elevator goes up and goes up, and it finally gets to Russ's floor, and Russ steps off the elevator, and he hears a woman behind him says, "Well, he isn't here for the Southern Baptist Convention." And over his shoulder, Russ goes, "Yes, I am." Okay, so to say that the mainstream press, what might not be exactly the normal people who showed up at a Southern Baptist Convention, but, you know, his stature as a mainline Protestant ordained minister or not, seminary graduate or not, when Russell Chandler walked into the newsroom of the Southern Baptist Convention, everybody there knew who he was, knew he was one of the best in the country, and they respected his journalistic skills, even if they wouldn't necessarily like everything that he reported if it was a tough year and there was a big battle. Does that make sense? The pros were in town. Your question, again, was, what happens if you're just an average reporter and you walk into the Southern Baptist Convention? What are you looking for? Do you hear how different those two situations are?
Yes.
Russ knows what's been going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. He knows where the bodies are buried. He knows who's on what team. He knows it all. He's ready to roll, and he's going to cover the story from a position of knowing what the basic issues are. We have people covering the convention now who are not even there. They're trying to follow it on YouTube clips. They're trying to follow it hoping that some people do live streaming video. They're following it on Twitter. They don't even have the expense account to go to the biggest meeting of the summer on the religion beat. They're NBA writers who don't have the budget to go to the finals. Does that kind of make an impression on you in terms of how that might affect their coverage?
Are you saying that they're not going in as blank slates, though, are they?
No, they go in. They're typical reporters. They have images of what the word Southern Baptist mean. They're going in there looking for issues that to some degree or another are linked to Donald Trump and evangelicals. or Southern Baptist talking about the Confederate flag, which was a huge issue, and I think perhaps the most important symbolic thing that happened at this year's convention. But most of all, they're going in there looking for issues that people will be addressing in language that their editors will think sound like news. And that means they're walking in looking for political language. It's sort of like the thing that you and I have talked about many times, about when people pick up a document by the Pope. They're not looking at the whole document and saying, what's really interesting? What will impact the most Catholics? What's the most important thing in this document? They're picking that document up and they're saying, what's in this document that's going to affect the White House race? What's in this document that's going to affect liberal nuns who are being chased by conservatives? You know, they're looking for the latest information on the political issues that their culture has defined as news. And they're journalists. They're trying to get headlines. And when you say, a lot of cynics will immediately say, oh, all they're trying to do is sell newspapers. Folks, trust me, there are things happening at major religious conventions that a lot of religious people all over America would be willing to purchase newspapers to read about. That doesn't mean the reporters will necessarily know about them or recognize them. This is a good time to repeat that quote, which would have to be in the top 10 get religion quotes of all time, which is from the liberal Southern Baptist minister Bill Moyers, later famous, of course, as LBJ's press secretary and then commentator for CBS and PBS. Remember that quote Bill gave me years ago? He said that for most reporters who are covering religion, they're tone deaf. They can't hear the music at the event they're covering, so they don't understand what's most important and what isn't important. And nowhere is this more true than at the Southern Baptist Convention, where they just don't hear the religious muscle and the guts of most of the arguments because it's spoken in theological language and in theological terms. And so they often miss many of the best stories.
Terry Mattingly is our guest, author of the Weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. We're talking about media coverage of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Greetings to you from the heart of Texas. I am Pastor Mark Knuckles, the senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We are the LCMS Mother Church of Austin and are situated just blocks from the University of Texas. Liturgical in worship and confessional in teaching, we are a dual parish with the only Lutheran deaf congregation in the Austin area, Jesus Lutheran Church of the Deaf. Come see what God is doing among us through His Word and His sacraments.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
education, and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention held in St. Louis. Terry, let's talk about some of the actual coverage. What did you make of the Religion News Service coverage of the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, first of all, the reporter that went to that is a veteran. She's been covering evangelicals for several decades. And I thought she got the absolute most crucial quotes into that piece. The problem wasn't with the Religion News Service piece. I mean, I might have put the paragraphs in different orders, or I might have written it differently, but nobody should really have any complaint about that story other than the fact that it was too short, you know, or they didn't give her as much room as she would want. I thought that was a perfectly fine report, and it had the most crucial quote in it on the religious liberty issue. They were debating the fact that someone from a Southern Baptist church somewhere had introduced a motion that essentially was saying, we don't want the Southern Baptist Convention and its officials supporting religious liberty rights for Muslims, if it means people getting to build mosques wherever they want to build them or whatever. And this thing was rejected by the committee, but the person got up to speak to this potential resolution or motion on the floor, and the Southern Baptist Convention is a pretty wide open operation when it comes to people standing in line and waiting to speak at those microphones. Some pretty wild stuff can get said at a Southern Baptist Convention. And to make it a long story short, Russell Moore, the spokesman for the Southern Baptist Convention in Washington and a man with some political experience in Washington working years ago for a pro-life Democrat in Washington, Russell Moore got up and said a quote, which I'll just read here now. I have it right in front of me. What it means to be a Baptist is just to support soul freedom for everyone, Moore said. And brothers and sisters, when you have a government that says we can decide whether or not a house of worship can be constructed based on the theological beliefs of that house of worship, then there are going to be Southern Baptist churches in San Francisco and New York and throughout this country that we are not going to be able to build. Fascinating. In other words, basically he's saying religious liberty for everybody or nobody. We've got to stand for everybody. And that's very consistent with what Southern Baptists and the evangelical law firms and groups such as the Beckett Fund and other groups, that's the stance they've been taking in recent years. So that was no surprise that Russell Moore said that. What's surprising is if you pick up an article about the end of the Southern Baptist Convention and you don't see that quote, because that was one of the defining quotes, along with a quote from a man named Dr. Merritt, who, speaking on the Confederate flag issue, hit that congregation with some amazing and blunt theological language. Pretty revolutionary kind of language. You know, speaking as someone who said that is, you know, my family includes Confederate soldiers, you know, in my lineage, you know, I understand what the Confederate flag is supposed to mean, but this is an offense to every African American. And he ended with, you know, two amazing heart cries. One was, Southern Baptists don't march under any flag except the banner of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a wild statement when you consider Southern Baptist relations to America for years. And then at the end he said, all the Confederate flags in the world are not worth the soul of one individual who's too offended by our image as Southern Baptist to not hear the gospel. That preached. But did you read that in newspapers? Did you see that on the CBS Evening News? Did that quote make it into CNN? Did that make it into the major media? Because that was the essence of the argument. They ended up calling on Southern Baptists and other people to stop flying the Confederate battle flag. They made that call for theological reasons linked to evangelism, church growth, the rapid growth, I should mention, of African-American Southern Baptist and Latino churches, the rising Southern Baptist work in the world of ethnic churches. They made a theological argument for that. The issue was, how many reporters heard that music?
Is that why it didn't make it into the papers, because they were tone deaf to it?
It's religious language. That isn't news, almost by its definition. Unless you're a reporter who's covered the Southern Baptist Convention before, and you know how these people talk, and you recognized that that was the key moment. That was the seminal moment of this gathering in which real news was made. And if you're actually covering the event as opposed to the event your editors think is happening, that's the quote. So you asked me how that Religion News Service story was. I thought the story was fine in that you had a reporter, one of the only experienced reporters covering this meeting, who recognized that. Now, the other thing that some of the Get Religionistas have discussed about that story, I wonder if this particular reporter, Adele Banks, a longtime friend of mine and someone who spoke every year, every semester, in the Washington Journalism Center program. Adele is a veteran's veteran. I still can't figure out if Adele got to go to the convention. They were not putting St. Louis bylines, datelines, I should say, on her stories. And if Adele didn't get to go to the convention, then to some degree that makes it even more amazing that she got some crucial material into the story if Religion News Service didn't have the money to let her go to the event. I don't see any evidence the Associated Press had anybody there full time. They might have had somebody who was there off and on, and if that's the case, that's probably not a reporter with a lot of experience covering Southern Baptist, and we can certainly see that in the story that the Associated Press ran at the end of the convention, which was essentially, wow, the Southern Baptist sure did some stuff differently politically this year. As if politics was at the heart of the two most emotional and critical things that came up during that meeting.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention on this Thursday afternoon, June the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. Terry, any other thoughts on the Associated Press story covering this meeting?
I was struck by the fact that there were hardly any human voices in it. It looked like it was written off some sort of cliff notes, you know, of documents from the convention or something. It once again just, to me, jumped out as a story that was written by somebody who wasn't there. When I read coverage of a meeting, let alone a meeting in which people cried in this meeting, people stood up and cheered in this meeting. African-American pastors were emotionally moved to hear white pastors making a stand on behalf of their community and stuff like that. The main thing I'm looking for is human voices. I want to hear what the people had to say. And boy, the Associated Press did not give anybody human voices from this event.
Let me ask you about this because you've brought it up several times. Can we say, and answer this as the veteran journalist, can we say that an event has really been covered if a reporter wasn't actually there, at least as close to there as you can be? Obviously, you can cover, say, a meeting of a cabinet meeting at the White House without having to be in the cabinet room. There's a way of doing that. But in an open public event like that, can you say that it's actually being covered?
Well, there's two different levels to this, and you're talking to someone who ends up covering about 90% of what I cover now. I can't actually get to the events myself. When I cover something like that, I have to focus very narrow. I have to say, here is what one speaker had to say, and this is how people reacted. And I have to get reactions by telephone calls or off people's blogs or Twitter or whatever. But I try, when I'm forced into that situation due to lack of travel budget, I try to look at something very narrow. But I would never claim that I covered the Southern Baptist Convention. I would claim something like, one of the most interesting sermons in the Southern Baptist Convention was this one, and here is what this minister had to say. Do you hear the difference?
Yes.
I'd focus specific instead of going broad. But, I mean, actually, your thing about the cabinet meeting, that's exactly the sort of setting in which I think it'd be almost impossible to cover accurately without being there, because a cabinet meeting is a group of people sitting around a table, and it's all about the human interaction. You have to know who looked at who told who to shut up, who did the president gesture at to say, no, keep going with that. I mean, that's the sort of setting where it's even more important to be there. But of course, reporters don't get to be there very often unless it's a staged event, which point all bets are off. So human interaction is what the best journalism is about. And you've heard me many times compare religion reporting to a combination of political coverage, arts, and opera. That, I mean, to some degree, you've got a lot of technical language, you've got a lot of legal language, even political language, a lot of stuff being used. But in the midst of all that is this music of the libretto, of the religious talk, and the scripture, and the hymns they choose to sing at different times, and the words that are in the hymns. And you have all of these other layers that if you don't get them, then you may have totally missed why a certain political moment happened or why it was important, why someone won this election or lost this election or said this about a candidate or not. Even when politics happens at the Southern Baptist Convention, it almost always happens in religious language. So how do you know what you're listening to if you don't have the words?
Terry, there's one other question I had for you. It had to do with a point that you made in one of your pieces in passing. But to me, it really struck out, maybe if I were kind of going to do the wide-angle lens on the Southern Baptist Convention, I, as a reporter, would like to know why, as you pointed out early in one of your pieces, today you get several thousand of these messengers attending, whereas only 25, 30 years ago, you might have had tens of thousands, as you point out, a peak of 45,000, more than 45,000 in 1985. What's that about?
Well, that was the Southern Baptist Civil War, when the entire battle for the control of America's largest denomination was actually taking place. And you're dealing there with what may have been some of the largest religious leadership, convention, legislative meetings in the history of planet Earth. May have been those conventions. Those were amazing, stunning, bitter, emotional fights because literally left and right were battling for control of the nation's largest denomination. But thank goodness, to some degree, that was during an era when we had more reporters who knew what they were doing. Do we have time for one final story from that exact meeting?
We do.
Okay. So we're talking Dallas, and we're talking the climactic convention. Very, very close vote, and the moderates, the so-called moderates, the left, lost. And so the conservatives who won the climactic vote all called press conferences, but everybody was having trouble finding the left. Now, my own family includes quite a few people who are on the moderate side of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I knew, for example, that Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, at that time was a hotbed for Southern Baptist moderates. I also knew that these people have been known to have the occasional drink. So I walked out the front door of the Dallas Convention Center, and the cabs were lined up, and I thought, okay, what else do I know about Southern Baptist? They are cheap. When it comes to spending money, Southern Baptists are cheap. The old saying is the Southern Baptists come to your town with, you know, with the Ten Commandments and a $10 bill and don't break either one of them. So I walked up to a cab driver, and I said, what is your lowest fare? And he said, $5. Minimum charge is $5. And I said, take me $5 down the main street into the middle of downtown Dallas. He said, that's a weird request. Okay. So we got in the cab, and he drove me straight into the middle of downtown Dallas. And the minute the meter hit $5, I asked him to pull over, let me out. I handed him a $5 bill, and I started walking the streets. And it took me about 10 minutes to find a group of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary alumni hidden in the back of a bar talking about the convention. Now, I knew a lot about Southern Baptist culture, and I even knew a lot about liberal, moderate, occasional Kentucky whiskey-sipping Southern Baptist culture. I figured out where they were. And, you know, maybe some other reporters had similar tips and found it out as well. By the way, I love the fact that the marquee on the bar where they held that meeting, it said, when you're being run out of town, get at the head of the crowd and make it look like a parade. Had nothing to do with the Southern Baptist Convention, but what a wonderful anecdote that made for the story. Those liberal Baptists in the back with their drinks were not amused when they saw me walk into the bar. That I had found them that quick. But those were the days, those were wild times, and at the heart of the coverage of those events was the fact that you had reporters who knew the Southern Baptist Convention inside out. Interesting times, and we don't have that anymore.
Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week because it will be Friday. That simple game, we play four soundbites for you, and then you vote by giving us a call or sending us an email or going to our Facebook fan page or sending us a tweet, and we'll be giving away the LPR bundle package. The Issues, Etc. book of the month is Being Lutheran. It's written by a Lutheran pastor, a very basic teaching resource on what it means to be a Lutheran from Concordia Publishing House. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org, on every page of the website, or give them a call, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called Being Lutheran. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Are you interested in Lutheran education? Join the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at a unique conference, July 19 through 21, 2016, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speakers include the Reverend Dr. Scott Ashman, Dr. Angus Manouge, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak. Visit ccle.org for more information. That's ccle.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.